Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Holy is your name. We want to acknowledge that this evening, O Lord. Holy is your name. You are God in heaven, and we are not. And so as your people, we come before you. We don't come before you on our own, but we come through the blood of your Son, Jesus. He stands as our mediator, and so we pray in his name all that we will pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we are so grateful for how you provide for us. We're grateful, Lord, that we're able to go in just a beautiful sanctuary tonight and to gather and have good sound and good stewards, Lord, and people that volunteer their time to lead worship and to sing. And we're just thankful for that. Oftentimes we get too busy in our given days and weeks. We get wrapped up in the day-to-day and we forget how grateful we are for how you provide for us. So just thank you for that tonight, Father. Lord, you heard the request tonight, Lord, just for prayer for the stewardship committee of this church, that you would give them wisdom, Lord, and guidance, God, on what that looks like, what does stewardship look like over the course of the next year here at this church. And Lord, we pray for all the people here at Faith that you would open up their hearts, Lord, that they would be good stewards and that they would be open to the ideas and the direction that the stewardship team comes up with, Father God. That their hearts would be opened up, Lord, and that they would want to be used by you to further your kingdom and the mission that you have given this church. And Lord, you heard that request tonight, Lord, and I think it's the request of so many prayers so often, Lord. Every day, every minute, lives are lost to abortion. And Lord, we just ask that you would have mercy on that, Lord. We always pray, Lord, that you would make it come to an end. You would change laws, you would change hearts. And we know that day after day it doesn't seem to, Lord, but we continue to come to you and pray because you are the giver and sustainer of life. And so we pray for justice. We pray for justice for the millions and millions of babies. Lord, we lift up those moms. Those ones that are making decisions on a daily basis. Those that are overwhelmed. And anybody in here that knows or has spoken to somebody knows the weight that a young mother feels. So Lord, we lift them up to you, God, that they would hear you. Those that will go to the clinics tomorrow morning, Lord, that they would hear your voice, that they would run into your voice, Lord, that you would move in this area. Lord, we know all the brokenness that's around us. We can just turn on the TV or listen to a radio station, talk to a friend group, and we know the constant barrage of negativity, Lord, that's going on. And so oftentimes we find ourselves in despair, Lord, but then the song, the beautiful song that was sung tonight, that your daughter Mandy sung, those words of come, Lord Jesus, come. And so we pray that, Lord, because we know that when you do come again, that you will make all things new. And so, Lord, we want to pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. We offer ourselves up to you tonight, Father. We praise you. We acknowledge you. I pray for just the words and the scripture that will be read tonight, that your truth would be heard and received, and people's hearts would be impacted. Lord, take away my flesh and use me for your glory. We offer everything we are to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. If you've got a word of God, please open it up. I'm going to ask that everybody has a Bible open tonight because you're going to be looking at some scriptures. I don't know if we may have the main scripture up there, but if not, that's why they put these in the pews, right? You have these, so we're going to open them up. I want you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And I think everybody here is pretty comfortable with hearing this story out of John's Gospel before. Maybe it's been a while, maybe it hasn't, but we are going to look at this beautiful story of an interaction between our Savior, Jesus Christ, and this Samaritan woman at a well. Will you read with me? Chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I am the one speaking to you. I am he." Usually the pastor would say, "This is the word of the Lord," and I love that. What amazing story. Now, oftentimes a preacher can recap it, though it's a pretty vivid story. But I don't know if anybody here, you don't even have to raise your hand. There's a new series. There's a TV series that's out. It's a beautiful series. It's paid for by the public. It's called The Chosen. If you haven't seen it at all, you don't know what I'm talking about, or you're like, "Oh, I've watched a lot of those episodes." It is a wonderful depiction of Jesus and his disciples, those that he chose, and it sort of brings out the stories that we hear in the Gospels as they follow Jesus along. In one of the particular episodes, a portion of it, 8 minutes, it picks up on the story that we just read this evening. So I do love to recap stories, but I thought tonight I would bring the video and we're going to watch that video and then we'll continue on. But I would ask, if you're used to watching videos at church and great, if you're like, just enjoy the video. You heard the story from God's word. Now try to put yourself there in the story as you watch this video. Go ahead.
Give me a drink. Did you hear me?
That's bad, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come out alone in the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water, if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would. Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water.
That's not what I
said. Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
Oh, I see. You're a prophet. You're here to preach at me.
No.
Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn you.
I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who have made it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need God? I've never received anything from God, but I couldn't thank him even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit. And the time is coming and is now here. That it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit and truth. Heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you. And it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him. Because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
And you know these things. Because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait!
Your water!
You forgot your,
Papsy, your man, you told me everything I ever did!
Grab those lights. If in your own life you've ever encountered Christ and he confronts you in a spiritual manner, a video like that in the story that we're looking at tonight, it's so powerful of the presence that Jesus has when he encounters us. We don't have to watch a TV show when we look in this word. It's not by accident that a Jewish rabbi would be speaking by himself to a Samaritan woman in the middle of the day. It wasn't by accident. I think when we see stories like that, we can relate in our own lives. when God just shows up and you know it's him and you don't know how he knew, but you know he's present with you. Powerful story. You've got your word open in chapter 4. That verse 10, he said, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would have asked me for a drink and I would have given you living water. She comments, right? She comments on the physical. Well, you don't even have a bucket. It's a deep well. She's not there yet, the physical. And then he obviously goes off and speaks about this water and those that drink from it. So the question I wanted to ask myself this week as I prepared and studied this and got ready to come here. What is this living water that he's offering? If you were watching or specifically reading this text tonight, the context would tell us that this living water isn't specifically Jesus. Jesus says, I would give you this. Well, he's offering to give her the living water. So I posed that question. This living water that Jesus is going to offer her. I want to know more. Living water, the idea of water being a refreshment, a renewal, isn't new to the Word of God. You got your Bibles. I'm going to make you go to them tonight. Go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. I'll go with you. We're going to just look at it. These are short verses. What I do at Southwest Community Church is I say, I need a couple of amens when you're there. I know that you're looking in your word, not on your phone. Well, you could look on the Bible on your phone. That's okay, too, but that you're not watching the football game right now. Give me like an amen or amen, and if I hear a couple, then I'm like, okay, I got people with me. Amen. Isaiah, there we go. Isaiah 43:19. Chapter 43 begins, is that the whole idea is Israel's only Savior. It's this idea of this Messiah. But in 43:19, we get these words. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Water is going to move into the wastelands. This is a spiritual language into God's people. And that water is going to be living. It's going to do something. Turn the pages. Go to Isaiah 55. Go to 55 and you'll hear a little bit more of this language. There we go. I like it. Isaiah 55. Look at those that first. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, all you who are thirsty. It's an invitation for those that are dry, God's people that Isaiah is speaking to, this idea of water being life-giving. This is going to be a book maybe you haven't been to in a while. Keep going to the right. Zechariah. It's not sword drills, but this does give you a little opportunity to hit a couple of books. Zechariah chapter 14. I got one. Zechariah 14, 8 and 9. On that day, this is about the coming of the Lord, the Messiah, when he reigns. On that day, living water will flow from Jerusalem, half of it east to the Dead Sea and half of it of the west in the Mediterranean Sea. It will flow from Jerusalem. Now, I know this is an evening service. I know we're churched people. So when we hear that language, man, an idea of water flowing from Jerusalem coming from a temple, maybe your mind would go to, you don't have to turn to it, it might go to Ezekiel 47. Super famous story. Ezekiel's there in the angel. He has them right. He has them walk in this river. And he's ankle deep at first. And then it gets deeper and deeper. And the picture is this beautiful river that's flowing from the temple. And as he goes deeper in this living water, he sees the life that it brings if you were to read that entire chapter. And of course, we can't talk about that water coming from Jerusalem or the throne room of God if we weren't thinking about Revelation chapter 22. It is the beautiful picture of the new Jerusalem in that water that will flow and bring life. What a life-giving picture that this idea of living water is. But I still pose the question as I'm studying. Jesus offered her this living water. Go back to the Gospel of John. I know we're jumping around a little bit, but it's worth it. The story that we're reading, that we're sort of anchoring ourselves in chapter 4, go three chapters to the right to chapter 7. Give me a cup. I got one amen. Here we have Jesus. He's at the Feast of the Tabernacles. That's where the Jewish people, they celebrate the 40 years that their ancestors had spent in the desert. It's a week-long celebration, and the final day is this extra special day. And on the last and greatest day, I will just read it. If you were in chapter 7, go to verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Keep reading. "By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that point, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." What? All those that will believe in Jesus, he offers this living water. If you're thirsty, you can come to him, and he offers you this water. And what does the Word of God tell us it's referring to? He offers you the gift of the Spirit. Wow. I think we know this to be true. But now when we go back to our core story and we see Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman and he offers her truth, the truth about who she truly is, you can't hear this story and not hear the gospel. You can't see Jesus' love and grace on display for her. And he offers the truth. And then he says, "I'll give you this water if you believe. All those that will believe in me." A time is coming, he tells her, right, when we will worship in spirit and in truth. Filled with his Spirit. This living water is God's Spirit, this gift that he gives us. We need only believe and be filled with it. This is where a couple people, if you're hearing it, would say, "Man, amen. Amen." It brings this conversation with the Samaritan woman alive. It brings this idea of life-giving water alive. We know he's not there by accident. He's offering her this gift. She's standing at that well, dehydrated, broken, longing for something. And I think what's beautiful, don't forget, she says, it seems like a lot, but the Messiah, he'll tell us. He'll figure it out when he comes. And how amazing is Jesus when he says, I am here. I'm right here. And I'm here on purpose for you. He says that to this woman who's been through a lot. He offers himself the truth and this gift of the Spirit, the living water, to her. And his words living and active. He offers that to us. And we know this to be true. It is the gospel proclamation. But I would assume most of us here have received that. We've said, yes, Jesus, I believe in you, and you've given me this living water. You could say amen if you believe that to be true. If you've accepted Christ, which means you've received the living water, which means you've received his Spirit, and it's now inside of you. Amen. Amen? I'll get a drink of water for that. But why is it, if we're honest with each other, that oftentimes we still find ourselves thirsty, parched, wanting more, not feeling overflowing? Because if we're really paying attention to this story with Jesus with the Samaritan woman, we get a beautiful picture of what happens when she receives this. What does the story tell us that she does? And you can yell it. Somebody could say it out loud. She goes. She goes. If you go back to chapter 4, and we didn't read it in the story, she sort of does. Then Jesus declared, I am the one speaking. But if we kept going, if we were to keep going, we see that the disciples come back. She's like, I know, I've met the Messiah. And she takes off. She goes back into town. And if you just go to verse 39, you will see that it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Jesus says that this life-giving water that he offers, it bubbles up and it flows out of us. And we get a beautiful picture with this woman that she goes and she tells. She can't help but. She was thirsty and now she's filled up and it's there and it has to express itself. She's got to tell people, I met this man and he knew everything I did. I met the Messiah. And it says that many Samaritans came to believe just from her words alone. If we believe, if we receive that living water, it should be brewing up inside of us, not being able to contain it, and we should be sharing it. And sharing it, yes, for some is a missionary. Sharing it for some is a street preacher, going up to the stranger and saying, let me tell you about Jesus. But for a lot of us, if you are filled up with living water, the Spirit of the living God, it will show up in how you respond to people at work, at school, with your family members, with those that you can't stand, the neighbor that drives you crazy. And how does the living water, the Spirit, overflow? Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. If we are filled up, it will be evident to all those around us. Amen? Amen. This is why I think, I'm pretty confident, that Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled, not once, constantly filled with the Spirit. And so I asked the question, the sermon title that I was asked for, are you thirsty tonight? Did you come here this evening or to church this morning or in this season of your life? Are you thirsty? Have you been filled up? And maybe you can say yes here tonight. Amen. Then go have it spill over into your week to come. But maybe we take a few moments right here. You know what? We're going to take a few moments after the song, before the blessing, because we're going to sing a song together that says, fill me, fill my cup. Am I right? Fill my cup. If we are feeling empty, then we need to ask. We need to show up at the well. Man, Lord, I'm feeling really thirsty. And I would imagine, I don't know everybody in here, but I would imagine most aren't coming here with five husbands plus another guy you're not married to. But I would imagine there's multiple people in here this evening that are dry and something is preventing you or is holding you back from truly just soaking up, taking a big old glass of that living water and just... And if you've ever been really thirsty before and you guzzle that water, it refreshes you. And then you can go as Jesus promised and it wells up and your life reflects it. Amen? Let's pray and we'll sing. Father God, we thank you so much for your word tonight, this beautiful story out of the Gospel of John. Holy Spirit, I'd ask that you just show each of us this evening and throughout the remainder of this week, what does it look like for us to fill ourselves up with that living water that you so freely give? We need you. We long for you. And Lord, I pray for those here this evening that right now are just thirsty. Would you quench their thirst this evening, Jesus? In your name we pray. Amen. The worship team.